And open your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, the 8th chapter. Mark chapter 8, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1056. 1056. Beginning with verse 22, we'll read through verse 26. The text verse is verse 24. We'll read the verses responsibly. This announcement, it says, would Mike Brogdon and Angie Gomez please come to the usher station? The usher station is just outside here, the hallway, down the hallway, over here in this corner. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's word. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And let's pray.
I want to speak tonight on the subject from the text, Mark 8:24. I see men as trees walking. Jesus had just was in the process of healing a blind man. They asked him if he could see, and he could just see vaguely. And he said, I see men as trees walking. And then Jesus completed the miracle, and the man could see men as men. The Bible oftentimes speaks of spiritual eyesight, such as his eyes were opened, that he should behold. And oftentimes, spiritual eyesight is mentioned in the Word of God. If that be true, and it is true, that means that spiritually, there are people who are blind. They have no thought of others. They can't see the needs of others. And they get saved. Or maybe become faithful in church. And then they begin to see others. But they see men as trees walking. Tonight I'd like to be used of God to open your eyes so that you'll see men, as individuals, as human beings. I see men as trees walking. Our Father, I guess every time I preach here, I think it must be the most important one ever. But somehow I feel a little more the burden tonight than usual, because I hunger for my people to get out of themselves. I hunger for us to step out of our selfishness. I hunger for us to step out of our own thought about ourselves and see men, women, young people, boys and girls, as human beings. Speak to our hearts tonight. Speak to me as I come to appeal to the human race on behalf of the human race. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember the first time that you ever saw a deaf interpreter at church? Do you remember that first time that you ever looked at that crowd of people that cannot hear and realized that those people had not heard the choir special, could not hear the preacher? And do you remember what a blessing it was when you saw that interpreter standing up there? How long has it been since you looked over there? They were deaf people then. For most of us, they're as tree is walking now. Not any more unusual to us than driving down the street and seeing a bunch of trees. You don't stop and say, that's a real tree, and that's a... You just see a bunch of trees. You go to the woods. You don't go to a tree. You go to the woods. And the truth is, that little crowd of dear people back yonder were novelty at first for you. Most of us never think about them. Now they're men as trees walking. Do you remember the first time that you ever saw the educable slow in church? Do you remember the first time that you ever saw the group of pathfinders like we have over here every Sunday morning? You remember that? Remember how excited you were that First Baptist Church, or whatever church you attended, had a ministry of people like that? By the way, I want to say this. Every ministry the First Baptist Church has is repeated and multiplied many, many times all over the world. I mean, there are foster clubs in foreign countries. I mean that. All across this nation, there are foster clubs. Groups of women meeting every week to go out and win folks to Jesus Christ. There are fishermen's clubs all over this nation and around the world. On fish mission fields, they have fishermen's clubs. Why? Because it was started right here at First Baptist Church in Hammond. You know that not only did all over this world people have departments for the educable slow, the retarded people, but do you know that there are hundreds and hundreds of churches that call it the Pathfinders? I got a letter today. Well, I got it yesterday, today. I read it today. From one of our young men, young couples who surrendered to the mission field. Teach at our high school. Brother Rouse, RUSC. I don't want to get a rumor out that Ed Rouse and Ms. Rouse are going to the mission field. But Brother Rouse, I taught several years out at our high school, wrote me a note today, and he said, or she did, and said, "Dear Dr. Hyle, dear Pastor, as we journey across this country, hundreds and hundreds of doors are open to us. People treat us nicely just because they love you and First Baptist Church of Hammond." And she said, "Thank you for the fact that you have people all across this nation who look to First Baptist Church." Remember the first time you ever saw that crowd? I'll never forget the night we had Church with a Heart, and we had the Pathfinders up here, and I was trying to tell everybody how we loved each other here, and the first Pathfinder that came up here was a grown man. He looked at me and said, "Who are you?" And remember that? Oh, but now they're over there every Sunday morning. Have you looked over there lately? Huh? Have your eyes glanced over there, and has there been a tear in your eye or your heart as you stop to thank God for His goodness to you? How long has it been since you wept a tear for a Pathfinder? Or how long has it been since you wept a tear for a couple that has an adult Pathfinder? Or how long has it been since you wept a tear for a couple that has a little sunbeam, retarded child, who'll never be normal, who'll never walk across the platform and get a high school diploma, who'll never walk the aisle and hear the preacher say, "Who gives the bride away?" Will never have a family or children. How long has it been? For the average person here, we never think about the Pathfinders. Never enter our mind. Why? Because we see them just like we see the trees in the woods. We never notice. We see them as trees walking. You remember the first time you ever saw all these buses lined up out in front of our church? The thrill, the excitement to realize that scores and scores and sometimes a couple of hundred buses. Now think about that. A couple of hundred buses cover this entire great Chicago area, reaching people who could not be reached without them.
You recall how you tingled and your heart beat faster? How long has it been? How long has it been since you looked at some bus kid and your heart broke because of the conditions under which he lived? There was a day, but now they're simply men as trees walking. You recall the first time you ever came to this church and saw the invitation on Sunday? You don't realize. You don't realize what God does in this church every week. Every week. 99% of the churches in the world, one Sunday morning service would be an entire 3 or 4 years' work for them. I mean, there's no... some of you, you don't give a flip. You'll get up and walk out during invitation. I wouldn't give you a dime for that kind of Christianity. Not a dime for it. You don't even want to see anybody saved. You don't give a flip about anybody's baptized or not. You sneak out like mice, go to their holes when the light's turned on. Why? You don't care. For you, there's no hell. For you, nobody burns forever if they die without God. The trouble is, we get used to it. I promised my God years ago that, we don't know this, but we're living in history here. There are more people here tonight than ever attended Spurgeon's Tabernacle in that main building. There are more people tonight than ever attended one night at Moody Church in Chicago. They couldn't seat that many in its great history when Moody was there and Ironsides was there. I'm simply saying, I resolve I'm not going to live in history and not know I'm living in history. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I'm not going to live in the church that has more converts and more baptisms than any church has had since Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. I'm not going to do it and not be happy. I'm not going to do it and gripe. I'm not going to do it and criticize. I'm not going to do it and yawn. I'm going to say, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What God is doing here. I'm not going to see these people walking down these aisles as men, as trees walking. I'm not going to see these folks get baptized up here like men as trees walking. I'm not going to see this lineup of Spanish-speaking people here every Sunday morning and see them as men as trees watching. I'm not going to see this altar filled every Sunday morning with people kneeling across this altar and receiving Christ as Savior. I'm not going to see them as men as trees walking. Every single one of them is a human being. Every single one of them was made in the image of God. Every single one of them has feelings and hearts and and souls. Every single one of them has hurts and burdens and problems and sorrows. I don't understand it. How anybody could live in the Chicago area and see people as trees walking. How long? Remember the first time you ever saw these blind people here feeling with their canes trying to find their way to church? Remember how you looked at them and saw this little neighborhood of blind people that settled themselves over here in this section of our church under the compassionate leadership of Mrs. Denny? Do you remember when you first saw them? Do you recall the first time you ever saw a deaf person talking to somebody on a street corner in the sign language? It was a novelty. You cared then. Now, if you want to live your life seeing a great group of deaf people back here hearing the gospel because of the dedicated hands of Miss Jeffries and others and yawn about it and never get blessed and never weep with joy because you can hear, you go right ahead. But I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to live seeing these blind folks without saying, thank God I can see. And I'm not going to live without once a service, at least once every Sunday, looking back here and seeing those deaf people and say, thank God I can hear that quartet tonight. And thank God I can hear that beautiful choir number tonight. And thank God I can hear the congregational singing tonight. And thank God I can hear the preaching tonight. Listen, there needs to be in the First Baptist Church of Hammond a transfusion of seeing people as people. We're seeing people as trees walking. I refuse to do it. I refuse not to think about that dear, precious lady Carol Scapick in our church. I refuse to have my mind oblivious to that precious lady. She's not a tree walking to me. She's a human being that has a heart broken and a body that's broken and diseased and somebody needs to care. I refuse to live and not think about Keith Fry, that good soldier of the cross and my good buddy, who because of multiple sclerosis, I think it is, has just become almost a vegetable, but his mind is capable. And that young man who lives in a wheelchair, somebody told me, I think he gave $100 to the bus offering. You've given less than $100, and you have a full-time job, and you can walk on your feet and not live in a wheelchair. If you gave less than $100, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He's not just a crippled bum. He's a human being. He has feelings. He has hurts. He cries. He hurts. He has problems. He has sorrows. He has heartaches.
I refuse to look at that one of my heroes here, Ken Smith, who keeps on going. You don't know how that man hurts. You know why? He hasn't got time to tell how he hurts. You're griping so much about the humidity. He doesn't gripe. You do. You that have two legs gripe. You that have two eyes complain. Let me tell you something. You've got eyes that can see and ears that can hear and feet that can walk. You ought not to ever say one time as long as you do anything about complaining. But I get tired. Well, you're the only person in the world that gets tired. We'll all gather around you and cheer, rah, 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 for you. But I just go to bed exhausted at night. Well, that's what the dumb bed is for. I refuse. I refuse not to realize those mission men up there are human. Human. They're just a bunch of bums. They're not a bunch of bums. Not any more bums than you are. I don't care what kind of job you've got. They're as good as you are. I don't care how many degrees they've got. They're as good as you are. I don't care how much money you got, how important you think you are, what kind of race you belong to, how highfalutin you think you are. You're no better than one of those men up there. Not a bit better. Get off your high horse. Oh, I thank God for those people who came to Lou U Hospital Service. Thank God. I'm not going to live saying that crowd back there are like trees walking. And that crowd up there like trees. Listen, if there's one thing in the world that our Savior hated, and the only thing He ever got mad about was self-righteousness. That's all. When He took the whips and cast the people out of the temple, it was because of their self-righteousness. The time He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," it was self-righteousness. I want to tell you something. You may not like this, but your preacher is no better than those fellows up there are. And when I look in their eyes, it's level, it's not down. And you have no right to look down either. None. They're not mission bums, they're gentlemen. I want to say this too. Jesus has more patience with their whine than He does your self-righteousness. And you give me the wino any day over the self-righteous Pharisee. You think drinking's all right. No, I don't. I just don't think it's as bad as Phariseeism. I'm not going to live without realizing these men, these are not sailors here, these are individuals. Ugly individuals, but individuals. Every heart that beats inside these dumb-looking outfits over here. It's a human heart. They hurt. They go to sleep at night sometimes and cry on the pillow. They have feelings, needs, homesickness. And I refuse to walk in this church and look back and see that great crowd of good guys that I love. I'm not going to look at them and see them as trees walking. Boy, I tell you, that story Brother Ray told a while ago about that little girl, that breaks my heart. You say, well, bless God, she came this morning. But most of you, it wasn't because of you. For hundreds of you, the only thing you did about the offering was give a sacrificial part of your tithe. You didn't have anything to do with that bus that little girl came on this morning. Hundreds of you. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just saying it's time
that we got down off our high horses and quit our griping and quit our complaining and stopped and realized that everybody in this world is human, has feelings and needs and heartaches and burdens and sorrows and pain, and needs somebody to see them as human beings. We cut up a lot with these space sections. One of the ones that cuts up the most with us is sitting in the middle of that back row, Ken Ball. Most of you don't know that unless you know Ken well, because he doesn't complain about it. Most of you don't know that Ken had an accident not long ago, and he lost one of his eyes. Most of you don't even know it. He was just out hardly at all. He kept on coming. You don't even know it. You've got, because you got a little sand in your eye, or your eye was sleepy. You didn't get enough sleep. Well, here's a guy up here has more fun than most of you have with two eyes, and he hadn't even told us yet what's happened to him. But he sits up there tonight with one glass eye. Why? I don't know why. He doesn't know why either, but he's happy, and he rejoices, and he is a human. I'm not going to live without thinking about it. Every Sunday when these guys give us so much fun, they're a good bunch of guys. Every Sunday when they give us so much stupidity, I thank God for Ken Ball. He's not going to be just another one-eyed fellow to me. I thank God for him. I'm not going to walk out here every Sunday morning without looking at these little ladies down here. Many of them have gone now, including my mama. Every week, Harriet Goodlow. I look at Harriet Goodlow every week because she's so pretty. Lives out here at Baptist City by herself. Never a complaint. Never. She's not just an old white-haired lady. She's a human being. I remember my first drive many years ago through the inner city of Chicago. I did nothing but weep. I'd never seen anything like it before. I grew up down in Texas where I never seen these apartments jammed together. I'd never seen hundreds of little boys and girls with nothing but a little sidewalk to share for a playground. I'd never seen that before. Now, I'll never forget the first time I drove down through this city, and my heart broke in two, and I wept and I wept and I wept. And just a few days ago, I drove down those streets again, and I wept exactly as I did 30 years ago when I saw it for the first time, and I refused to let those ghettos of Chicago be simply a bunch of people as trees walking. I refuse to do it. I refuse to live in this area with 7 million people and probably 6 million of them don't even know the way to heaven. I refuse to do it. They're people. Those aren't a bunch of snotty-nosed kids. Those aren't a bunch of teenage crooks. They're individuals. And but for the grace of God, you could be right there where they are. I refuse to see them as trees walking. I remember the first day I saw the deaf, and I feel the same way tonight as I did then. I refuse to become callous to the needs and to the needy. Please follow me. I dream about those little boys and girls on the road between Cairo, Egypt, and Memphis, Egypt, by the thousands, who held out their little hands, and you could see their little ribs protruding through their little stomachs. Yes. Running up to the window of the bus while we were touring Egypt, begging just for anything. I dream about them at night. It's been good night. It's been 16 years, I guess. More or less, maybe 15 or 16, 17 years. But I still see them. Still see them. They're human. We read about Mexico City. Thousands killed in an earthquake. And we don't even cry. Those people are human, folks. Just as human as you are. Read about some tragedy in Beirut, Lebanon. We don't even work up a care, a concern. Why? I'll tell you why. Because as long as we eat and we drink and we have a nice house and drive a nice car and wear nice clothes, fool you on everybody else. That is not New Testament Christianity. Not. Not. Our Savior died of a broken heart. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He did not see them as trees walking. We get far too much concern. And you know my standards. You know what I believe. You know my convictions. We get far too much concern about these things we think are not right and these things that we've... And we don't have enough concern about a whole world of people dying without God and dying without hope and living without food and shelter. I dream of that little hut I saw in Memphis, Egypt. I saw dozens of them, but one especially got out of the bus and walked over there. Little hut made out of mud. Little mother stood out there barely clothed with anything. Little boys and girls just had their loins covered. Must have been 3 or 4 to live in that one little hut, and it couldn't have been 10 by 10. Well, I don't have my own bedroom. I gotta share my bedroom with my sister. Well, bless your poor little backslidden heart. They must have had 6 or 7 or 8 people in one, and they could not stand up inside that little hut. They had to crawl in on their hands and knees at the door, and they could not stand up, and that's where they lived, and that's where they loved, and that's where they ate. And by the way, that's just one. There are millions of people tonight. They're multiplied hundreds of millions of people tonight all over this world that don't have anything better than that to live in while we drive our air-conditioned cars and complain because the air condition breaks. Oh, for God to give First Baptist Church New Testament Christianity. Compassion. Sympathy. Empathy. So we'll see men, not as trees walking. I dream about the poverty in Luxor where people had to buy little fans to keep the flies off. And I'll guarantee you there are 100 flies on everybody in Luxor, Egypt. Still dream about those little boxes in Monterrey, Mexico, where I was a few years ago. You've been there, Brother Fernandez, many times. Right across the street from the church, 2 or 3 blocks. And they're all over the city, but that particular place, looked like they're made out of crates. Little one-room hovels of houses. Made out of boxes. People live there. My heart aches tonight for our people to quit thinking about ourselves. I hurt tonight. For us to quit thinking about our problems and our hurts. Oh, listen to me. The person tonight in this room that lives in the most poverty in 99% of all the neighborhoods in the world would be the wealthiest person in the neighborhood. I dream about those Indians up there in Ramparts, Alaska, where I was. Pastor said, I want you to see something. He had chartered a little plane, flew out to Ramparts, Alaska. Landed on a little landing strip. There's nothing more than a bunch of trees cut down. The plane bounced along the landing strip. They got out and walked, and there was a river. They had no way to get to town, and they only had one little store in that entire little town. And one street. And everybody lived in little houses made out of pasteboard boxes. And that's Alaska, ladies and gentlemen. And that's up close to Fairbanks, Alaska. That's not down in Anchorage, where it's not much colder than it is here. That's at Fairbanks, where it gets 30 and 35 below zero every winter. And there they sat, those Indians and a few Eskimos. There they sat. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I dream about that man I saw in Hiroshima who, 25 years after the war was over, had not moved one part of his body. I went to the hospital in Hiroshima where it's given almost entirely, if not entirely, to people that were injured at the dropping of the bomb. I walked up and down the hallways in their hospital. I saw limbs that had not been moved in 25 years. I saw arms that had not been raised in 25 years. I saw fingers that had not been moved in 25 years. The other day I picked up a paper. It was on the anniversary of Hiroshima. And I read about the same hospital. They told about the same hospital. And they said some of those same people that were there 15 or 16 or 17 years ago when I was there, they say they're still there. And they still have not moved. Those are human beings. They're not a bunch of pagan heathen. They're human.
Somebody needs to care. It's sort of a crime. The way we've got churches on every street corner all over this country just about. And all over this world are people that don't have never even seen the Bible. I'll tell you, I can hardly put up with a strike. I can hardly put up with it. I mean that. It's almost impossible for me to even stand it when I see people striking. Boy, if we had some school teachers that teach for nothing, we'll change this country. I don't think we ought to make them teach for nothing, but if they don't, listen, if they wouldn't teach for nothing, we ought not to pay them to teach for anything. Give us some policemen, some doctors, nurses, preachers, teachers. Starve to get to teach. We got teachers that teach in our grade school. You know where they work this summer? Dairy Queen. Master's degrees, some of them. Nothing wrong with working at Dairy Queen. I think it's wonderful. Thank God somebody works at Dairy Queen. Glory to God. I mean, without those teachers, we wouldn't have had any blizzards. Thank God for blizzards. I dream about that little church in Jamaica where some of the sweetest Christians I ever saw sang without a piano or any kind of musical instrument. Some of the most beautiful singing I ever heard in my life while lizards crawled up the walls in the building. I dream about the millions on the Tokyo streets when I was there. Hardly anybody tell them. I dream about New York City, especially Brooklyn, and London, and Paris, and Rome. Did you know there may not be anybody saved tonight in a service in Rome? Millions of people. It's entirely possible. Did you know in the city of London you'd have a hard time finding a gospel invitation on Sunday? Millions of people. Think about it. They're going to hell. Did you hear what I said? They're going to hell. That great mass of humanity living in poverty in Cairo, Egypt, millions of them, lost. I dream about them. Not to mention our own country, San Francisco and Honolulu. Not to mention Germany with its Frankfurt and Berlin. Not to mention Greece with its Athens. Most of the world, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that most of the people, 99% of the people in this world, are going to burn forever and ever 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 and burn and burn and burn and burn forever and ever and ever and ever and burn and burn and burn and burn forever and ever and ever and ever. They're not trees. They're people with souls and eternities and hurts and pains. Of those underpaid teachers at our school. I want to tell you something. Some of you parents that go out there and throw a fit to those teachers, you ought to have to put up what they put up with for what they get. I'm not talking about, I have nobody in mind at all, but if it shoe fits, just squeeze it on. Thank God for those teachers. Well, they mishandle my child. Well, they've got 30 to handle, and you got 3, and you can't handle your 3. By the way, they're handling their 30 as well as you're handling your 3. They're human. Go out there and blow your stack and throw a fit. They're human. They have feelings too. I weep because of the crippled. I refuse to see Robin Moore, that little lady rearing her children from a wheelchair, without hurting and thanking God for her. I refuse to live without thinking about those dormitory girls at Hal Anderson College. Many of them go just from month to month. They don't know how in the world they can pay their bill and how they can stay in college. And they pray down somehow God's answer. And God sees them through school. And boy, I'll tell you, when it gets as hot as it's been lately, you ought to go out there and live on the top floor of one of those dormitories sometime. They're people. They're not college students. They're people. These aren't sailors. They're individuals. Those aren't mission men. They're individuals. They're people. They're not trees walking. They're not a group of anything. Each is an individual. I refuse to live in the same place with that one of the greatest armies in this church. That army of wives who are here with their husbands who are in college. I wish you could just stay in my office and watch them come. You see, I'm bringing three or four little kids in the office, and the husband says, I was laid off this week. We don't know what to do. I wish you could do it. I'll be honest with you. I'm no saint, but I'll be honest with you. I mean this. I've given. I don't have it. There comes an end. I wish you knew what some of these couples are going through. I wish you knew. I wish you knew that these are people. All these college kids. They're not college kids. They're ladies and gentlemen. Jeremiah stood on the street, preached to Jerusalem. The city was so wicked that God had to judge them for all those many years in bondage. Jeremiah saw the bondage coming. He saw the people coming and going, and he cried, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" Ladies and gentlemen, does Chicago mean anything to you? Does this great mass of humanity mean anything to you? Do you care if thousands of boys and girls that are just as good as yours are hungry in Chicago? Do you care if these gangland kids could be reached with a little love and concern? They're being reached. Man was crippled for 38 years. It is said that once, on occasion, an angel would come down and trouble the waters. And the first person that got in the waters after they were troubled was healed. For 38 years, this man, crippled, had been carried down there every day. 38 years. That's 11 years longer than I've been pastor of this church. And sat down there. And the waters would get troubled, an angel would come and trouble the waters, so it says. And this man would try to get down the waters first, he couldn't. Somebody in Jesus came to him and said, "What's the deal?" And the man said, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool." One of the saddest statements in the entire Bible. David said, in one of the darkest hours of his life, "I looked on my right hand, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul." You do what you want to do. Come to church, think about yourself, gripe, complain, criticize, do what you want to. I'm not going to get down that low. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to look at these sailors over here and say, these are gentlemen. They're not trees walking, they're gentlemen. I'm going to look at those deaf people back there. That's not just the deaf department. That's a group of individuals back there with pains and sorrows and needs and heartaches and burdens. They're not trees walking. They're ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to look at those rescue mission men up there. And I'm not going to say, there's the mission crowd. Yeah, a bunch of bums. No, they're not a bunch of bums. The bum is the person that says they're bum. They're gentlemen. I'm not going to look at those blind folks back there. Listen. The other day, what's the name of that couple? He was a radio announcer some. They got married here. They were both blind. I'll know it if I heard it. Call the name of some. Wilkerson. Yeah, Wilkerson. I was out.
out in California a couple weeks ago preaching. They live out there near San Francisco, and they came to the church where I was preaching. And they had as cute a little girl as you ever saw. Just as cute as could be. And they said, "We want you to meet our little girl." I think the Wilkersons were the couple. I think it was the Wilkersons or the Bakers. I saw them one Sunday in this hallway out here, right out in that hallway, smooching. They were married, but they're out there smooching. I mean, necking, hugging, kissing, rubbing noses. You like that, huh? That's preaching. Out there. And I got disturbed. I said, "Look, folks," I said, "if you're going to do that, don't do it out here in the hallway, folks coming by. Get in a dark corner somewhere." And they grinned and said, "Pastor, everywhere we are is a dark corner." Ah, but they were so glad to see me. They walked, I don't mean in the dark corner. They walked up on the platform out there at Santa Clara, North Valley Baptist Church, and they had that little girl. And my heart broke. Just broke. The little girl can see. But they can't. I can hardly talk. What a precious child. But her daddy will never see her till heaven. And her mama has never seen the child. I just... couple of blind people, part of our blind. Oh, she's a lady and he's a gentleman. I feel so helpless. I sit in my office and counsel. I die. I just die. I want to help everybody, but there are too many. You say, "Brother Hodge, you can't help everybody." No, I can't, but I can cry. Remember that little girl years ago I told you about? Before the old before this house was built, we were still meeting in the old auditorium before it burned. In fact, most all the time we met in it was before it burned. You're learning stuff tonight you'll never learn unless you listen. And I'll never forget that morning after baptism. Little girl bounced up on the platform just as shoddy as she could be. She's 7 years old. Little dress looked like it belonged to her mother or some adult that put it on her. Came down to her feet. Little shoes almost bare. Little hair was straight. And little child walked up and she said, "Mr. Brother Hiles, could we be best friends?" And I said, "You got yourself a deal, sweetheart. We'll be best friends." She said, she meant friend. She said, "Can we be best friends?" And I said, "You got yourself a deal." Every Sunday morning, she'd come up after the service, and she'd say, "We're best friends, aren't we?" I'd say, "We sure are." She'd say, "I love you, Mr. Brother Hiles. I'm glad you're my best friend." I'd kiss her on the little cheek, and she'd go her way. Weeks became months, and months became many. One Sunday morning, she came up, and she said, "Mr. Brother Hiles," she said, "we're best friends, aren't we?" I said, "We sure are." She said, "I got some bad news for you." I said, "What is it?" She said, "We're moving. This is the last time you'll ever see me." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." She said, "Mr. Brother Hiles, you didn't understand me. We're best friends, and we're saying goodbye right now forever." Well, I said, "I'm sorry about that. I really am sorry. I'm going to miss you." She said, "Mr. Brother Hiles, you don't understand. I'm leaving right now. You'll never see me again. I'll never see you again. We're saying goodbye, and we're best friends." And I said, "Honey, I heard you." She put little hands on her hips and she said, "Mr. Brother Hiles, ain't you even going to cry?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And I did. I can still see her out there on that sidewalk, running down that sidewalk there, looking back, waving goodbye to me as she ran. There's a telephone pole or some kind of post out there. And she hit that telephone post and a big knot swelled up on her head and she ran down the sidewalk waving goodbye and said, "Bye-bye, Mr. Brother Hiles. We're best friends." You know what I wondered? I wondered if wherever she went, if she'd have a best friend. Would she have a church that was too uppity for little kids like that to be welcome? Would she have a preacher that cared? Would she have a church that cared? Oh, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter,
feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken can buy. All I'm asking you to do is just have a heart. That's all I'm asking you to do. These are not trees walking. They're individuals.
You can't help everybody.
I can cry. By the way, since I was in Monterey, I came back and trained some to go to Monterey. And their missionaries have been trained right here that are going up and down those little streets in Monterey right now telling those little people about the Savior. And I can send folks back to Japan. And we can train a man to go to the Philippines or several to go to the Philippines and win thousands to Jesus. And I can send an army of people every week to Chicago to cover a city like no city of its size has ever been covered in the history of mankind with the gospel. And I don't want you to feel sorry for me. But my biggest job is something else I can do. I can try as best I can to keep this giant ship afloat that is helping the whole world. If you knew what this church means to this world, if you knew what this church means to this nation, you'd do everything you could to make it even greater than it is tonight. I close with this. I was at Calvary. I guess everybody that's ever lived has wanted to go to the Bible lands. This may sound funny, but I wasn't impressed too much about where they said Jesus was born. Now, I wasn't impressed too much about a lot of things in the Bible lands. But I'll tell you two things that impressed me. One was Gethsemane. As I knelt under those trees, they said the same trees under which Jesus knelt 2,000 years ago and prayed. And we sang, "Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light in the garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will but thine be done," cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees. With the Savior alone on his knees. And then Calvary. That little hill just outside the north wall of the city. Cemetery now on top of the hill. You can't even get up there. It's a cemetery. I decided our crowd's going to get up there. Some of you folks were with us and you saw what we did. We got up there. We're the only people that were in Jerusalem touring that got up there on Calvary. I discovered that up there was a cemetery. And there they don't have processionals and cars. They don't have that many cars. They walk in processional. So I got our people. We put on shawls, everything else. We walked down that street real solemnly. Turned and walked up there on Calvary. They thought we were going to bury somebody. We walked up there. In fact, it was such a surprise that there's a magazine, a national magazine there. They saw us and took pictures of us up there on Calvary. Somebody said, who can speak English, they said to me as we started walking up there, they said, "You going to funeral? Somebody die?" I said, "Yes, dear friend. Dear friend." Didn't ask me how long ago he died. They didn't know it was 2,000 years. That's what you call putting off a funeral. Here's the thing about it. We stayed up there and cried and praised God and sang up there. And just as the crowd had left, I lingered behind a few seconds. And I saw a caretaker. I guess he's a caretaker. He's working out there on the cemetery. And I walked up to him. And I said, "Sir, do you know what happened here?" And he said, "When?" He didn't even know that Jesus died for him on that hill. how soon we forget, and how easy it is for us to let the same thing that used to stir us now lead us to yawning. We see men as trees walking. I'm not perfect. God knows I'm far from it. But I refuse to be your pastor and just see you as a great crowd of people. I refuse. I absolutely refuse. I look out every Sunday and see faces of people all over this building. I know your hurts. I know your burdens. I know your heartaches. I plead with you, folks. Don't think about yourself so much. Look at men and women not as trees walking, but as individuals who hurt and care. I close again with this. I said this Friday afternoon. He was just a mission man. His name was Lou. Probably as a cantankerous a man that ever walked inside our mission. And many times I thought we ought to have a big day and have Lou and Sully wrestle here on the platform. Or have a duel. I don't guess Lou could get along with hardly anybody, but maybe Brother John and me. I don't think we could have if we'd been over there all the time. I know Brother John and I can't get along together. But and all he ever did at the mission, a little bit, he cooked. And he's the worst cook that ever went to the mission. But he was sort of like the fellows have at home when they get home with their wives. He did nag an awful lot. So in some ways, it was like home to him. And Lou was bitter. I don't know what happened to his life, but Lou was bitter. I said this at the funeral service, and two of his grown children and one of his sons sat right down here. And I would see him as he would go to the mission and stay because he was, and let him get sort of off his drunk or his liquor. And as soon as he got to where he wanted some more wine, he'd leave the mission, go get him a job somewhere, and I can see him parking cars down here in the lot, sort of across from that Walgreens down here on Sibley Street, making a few dollars so he can get drunk again. Then come back to the mission, in and out, in and out. I didn't bury Lou Juhas, a mission bum, last Thursday. I buried a gentleman whom God loves and who had in life some misfortunes I've never known. He told me one day he's taken presents to his family on Christmas Day. Knocked on the door, rang the doorbell. They'd come to the door and shut the door, not even take his gifts. He'd bring his gifts back home, back to the mission. One time I saw him shed a tear. He's human after all, and so is everybody else. Let's not commit the wicked sin of seeing men as trees walking. Father, wish I could do a better job on this subject. I keep trying to figure out